1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The House today takes up a measure that would force the Chinese owner of TikTok to sell or face a ban.
Wisconsin Republican Mike Gallagher says it's not that TikTok is a time suck for teens.
This is about foreign adversary control of American social media and, by extension, the dominant news platform for young Americans.
His bill forcing a ban if TikTok isn't sold needs a two-thirds vote to pass the House. If it does, Senate leader Chuck Schumer has not committed to advancing it.
I'll have to consult and intend to consult with my relevant committee chairman to see what their views would be.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Vladimir Putin threatening to use nuclear weapons after a second straight night of Ukrainian drone bombardment. Russia says it shot down 58. President Biden and Donald Trump are now the presumptive nominees of their parties after primary wins Tuesday in Washington State, Mississippi, and Georgia. This is ABC News. The saying, steal no small thing. A woman in Nebraska is in trouble over free gasoline.
A software update to fuel pumps at a Nebraska gas station created a glitch. Anyone who swiped a reward card twice could get gas at no cost. Company's loss prevention manager realized that one card in particular had been used to obtain free gas on multiple occasions. Police have now arrested a 45-year-old woman. They say she took nearly $28,000 worth of gas without paying and let another person use the card for a fee. She's facing felony theft charges. Brian Clark, ABC News.
U.S. aerospace company Stratolaunch says its first test flight Saturday of an unmanned hypersonic research vehicle was a success, but is withholding specific altitude and speed details from the Talon A-1 flight off the coast of California. Head honcho Zachary Crevor says the vehicle approached Mach 5. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The recall attempt against Wisconsin's most powerful Republican lawmaker has come up short. Organizers of a push to oust Assembly Speaker Robin Voss turned in 14,000 signatures Monday, but the Wisconsin Elections Commission Tuesday determined not enough of them come from the district Voss was elected in. Commissioners are asking the state Supreme Court for clarity. Tick season is beginning early this year. The state health department and experts from the University of Wisconsin in Madison began looking for ticks last month. They say that about half of the adult deer ticks they found carried the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. Ticks can become active as soon as temperatures are above 40 degrees and the snow has melted. Experts say that it's too early to say if this year's tick season will be longer than usual or if more ticks will be carriers of Lyme disease compared to other years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
NFL free agency continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. More background on how the Packers running back Aaron Jones ended up signing with the Minnesota Vikings. According to ESPN, the Packers asked Jones and his agent Drew Rosenhaus to take a pay cut down to $6 million a year. When Jones turned down that offer last Friday, the team informed him over the weekend they would be moving on to find his replacement. The best offer Jones then received was $7 million a year from the Vikings. The Packers have re-signed defensive back and kick returner Keyshawn Nixon to a new deal, 3 years worth 18 $16 million. They are also bringing back defensive back Corey Ballantyne and tight end Tyler Davis. A year ago, the Packers released defensive lineman Dean Lowry. He signed a two-year deal with Minnesota worth $8.5 million. However, the Vikings released him today. Safety Jonathan Owens has decided to sign with the Chicago Bears. Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs under the lights tonight in Mesa, Arizona. The Bucks are in Sacramento against the Kings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear with lows in the mid-30s. And for tomorrow, a partly sunny sky and mild. Highs low 60s. Cloudy, breezy with showers Thursday. Highs upper 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds looking into Friday. Highs right around 50 degrees. Currently, it's 37.
Listen to the Earl Ingram Show Wednesday at 9 a.m. I'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of CitizenX.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me tonight on this, oh my gosh. I can't even find the right words to say how beautiful the weather was today in what is typically a brutal March here in the state of Wisconsin. Today was like incredible. I'm in the Marinette area, 60s today. Conrad, what was it by you?
65, I think, at one point. I was looking at my watch, and I was like, there's no way it's 65 out. It's because of the wind gusts that we had, but, you know, still felt really good.
We didn't have any of that. I'm a little bit further north of there. Earlier today, we had none. It was just absolutely gorgeous, and this cracks me up. Welcome to Nightlight, by the way. I didn't even welcome our listeners. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. I jumped right into the weather because it's so beautiful. And I took a couple walks today. I'm amazed at how people will just find something negative. First of all, the I want to say it was like 60 today, maybe 61, low 60s. And I pass someone and they're, I'm like, gorgeous, huh? You know, you do that thing where you talk about the weather. I kind of know these people, but I kind of didn't. And the guy goes, yep, not great sleeping weather.
What?
I mean, would I have been wrong if I got that guy in a headlock?
I'm confused what that means. Not great sleeping weather?
Well, typically when you say not great sleeping weather, it means it's too hot or humid to sleep. It's just not a good, it's not good conditions for sleeping.
Well, it's going to be, you know, probably around 50 tonight or something around there. Just open the windows.
Right. Maybe he meant, I'm going to take a nap at 3 o'clock. It's not good, but still, it was only 61. That's gorgeous. Oh, yeah. Open your windows. I didn't even know what to say. I was just like, yeah. And I kept walking. And then I'm like, should I have gotten into it with the guy? Like, should I have stopped and talked to him and said,
is everything all right, man? Is everything okay, huh? Man?
Yeah. Just looking for something, or maybe it was like nervous chatter. I don't know, yeah. But looking for something to be contrarian about or something. I mean, this is maybe like, if the weather was this nice every day in Northeast Wisconsin, there would be 4 million people just living in this area. That's how gorgeous it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was like the perfect day. And this guy immediately goes to not good sleeping weather. Okay. If you get a nap, pal. Insane, right? Am I wrong, or is that like just that, the kind of, you don't say that?
That's just it's the first beautiful day we've had. I felt like this in a long time. So
yeah,
I went outside to, you know, play a round of nine.
Yeah,
and it was just absolutely beautiful.
and this guy goes negative right out of the gate. It's insane. I feel like we got off on the wrong foot there, folks. I'm now that's what I'm doing. I'm going negative. I'm looking for the one downside of my day, which was an absolutely gorgeous day, and I'm picking out the negative. So let's just erase that from our minds. Let's restart. Welcome to Nightlight. It's a beautiful night here in the state of Wisconsin. Conrad, are you ready to take some texts?
Oh, definitely. Always ready to take texts.
I feel like, you know, if you want to give us your thoughts on the weather, you could do that. But I think we have kind of a cool question tonight. It is National Girl Scout Day. So our question is, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie? And there's all kinds of different ones to choose from. I think you should go first, Conrad, because you thought of that question.
Oh, I'm debating because I really don't like coconut. But there's something about their coconut cookies that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to have to go with Thin Mints. Because that's the only thing I think I would actually order every time if I did it. Because they're so expensive.
Like, there's no... God, they must have added some new flavors. There's Girl Scout s'mores, lemonades. Those are good. I've had those peanut butter patties.
Oh, I had the lemon ones, too. Those are really good.
Those are good. And I feel like the peanut butter patties should be better. But when I taste them, I don't know if it tastes, like, really processed or whatever, but it doesn't do it for me. But Thin Mints... Those are the most dangerous cookie. Yeah. I'm not kidding. It's like you get through the whole sleeve and it's not even, the taste isn't even registering yet. They're so thin and so minty. thus the name. I swear I could wolf down an entire box of those. And I probably have at some point in my life.
You don't even realize that there's like, you like not paying attention to how much is in there. And then at one point you look down and you're like, oh, there's two left.
Right. Well, somebody must have got to these before I got. Nope, you ate them all. And I'm reminded the great comedian Brian Regan has such a great joke about eating cookies. He checks the serving size. Two cookies. Like, who in the hell eats two cookies? He's like, I eat Fig Newtons by the sleeve. Oh, their peanut butter are good, too. The peanut butter sandwich cookies are outstanding.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
So I think you're talking about Samoas.
Yes, those are. Yeah. I don't really like coconut, but those I can wolf down those.
And they got a new one here I haven't seen before. It's called Adventurefuls, where they have a delicious brownie-inspired cookie, caramel-flavored cream, and a hint of sea salt.
Huh.
Sea salt is popping up everywhere. I don't know when we had this abundance of sea salt in America or in the world, but...
It's because
apparently it's very acceptable.
Yeah, it's like it's healthier option or something.
It's called what?
I think it's like the healthier option to regular salt using sea salt.
Oh, really? Okay.
I've heard a lot of people using pink salt as well.
Pink salt? Yeah, I've heard of that. What is that? I don't even really know what that is.
I don't know. It's to me, it's just salt that's pink.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's no sea salt though. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I mean, I like all, honest to God, I like all of them. I literally could do without the peanut butter, though.
Are you talking about the ones that have, like, chocolate coating and then peanut butter inside it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Those ones, I understand what you're saying about them.
Yeah, the peanut butter ones are outstanding. Yeah, I don't know. Hey, we got some breaking news here. This is kind of cool. On the text line, we just heard from Christy Barlamont. Last night on the show, if you guys caught it, Ben Chan was on. He is a Jeopardy finalist. And Ben was a great guest. Really, boy, he opened up too. Remember that, Conrad? He started talking about his dad and like just
great guest.
Really, yeah, great guest. And a really, an even better guy, supposedly, in the 30 minutes I spent with him. I really like Ben, though. Cheering him on. The finals were tonight of Jeopardy. And apparently, Christy Barlamont, who introduced me to Ben, just let us know on the text line, he won.
Awesome. That's great.
Ben Chan won. I guess it would have been the 3 out of 7. So he moves on. He pockets another $250,000.
And
I think he's going to
take
like $500,000 now.
What he said he was going to take trips with his dogs and his wife, right?
Yes. Not in that order.
That's awesome.
But yeah. So good for Ben. We'll have to have him on after when his Jeopardy run is over. We will have to have him on and really just, I mean, he already was so much fun, but I can't even believe this guy. He's like, if he keeps going, he's in Ken Jennings territory. So that's pretty cool. Congrats to Ben, a friend of the show. I don't know if I'd put him as a nightlight bestie yet, but it can still happen. He's got time. Christy said last night when she was with Ben, when he was in the studio, I asked him what he was going to spend his money on. She said he spent it on Tupperware. He's going to buy a whole lot more of it now. That is an exciting purchase, I will admit. That's really cool. Congrats, Ben. We hope you come back and tell us all about it. It's fantastic. So we got a great show for you tonight. In just a few minutes, Rob Thomas is going to be here. We're going to talk a little bit of Oscar. I really want to get Rob's take on the Oscars because I thought it was just a great broadcast. We spoke about it a little bit last night when we weren't talking about Jeopardy. Jeopardy and the Oscars dominated the show last night. Tonight, we start off with a little Jeopardy. We'll go to the Oscars. I want to ask Rob about what he thought about it. And there's a lot going on in the Oscars. So we couldn't possibly cover it in one night. We'll talk to Rob. That'll be fun. A little later, we had a guest fall out. Roger Rittenhouse had to cancel due to a family situation. So we will have Roger on next Tuesday. Very funny guy. And I'm excited to get Roger on the program. But tonight, Anya Esther, who also watched the Oscars, is going to step in. So if you guys, listen, we've already given you three things you can interact with us about. Join the show. Join the fun. Let us know your favorite Girl Scout cookie. Let us know what you thought of the Oscars. Let us know what you thought about Ben Chan. Really cool stuff. But the cookie, I got to go Thin Mints too. Conrad says Thin Mints. I say Thin Mints. What say you? What is the Girl Scout cookie you just want to mow? Like you can't say no to. You know what I'm talking about. That Girl Scout cookie that's just like, it's sitting there on the counter. You've already eaten. You're full. But it's a Girl Scout cookie. So, you know, you got to have it. So what is that? For me, it's Thin Mints. For Conrad, it's Thin. You know what? I'm going to have co-winners. I'm going to say Thin Mint and peanut butter.
Okay.
Because, you know, you get like Nutter Butter, for example. It's very, I don't know. The peanut butter tastes very generic, whereas the Girl Scout peanut butter cookies, it's like, the cookie part is filled with peanut butter. The peanut butter is excellent. It's top to bottom. It's a great cookie. So, all right. So we got a lot of show. Rob Thomas will be here soon. So let us know what you think. Tell us your favorite Girl Scout cookie. We will keep. What else is going on today, Conrad? There's a lot of stuff happening.
Let's see. It's
Aaron Pepper's birthday. That's kind of exciting.
Plant a Flower Day.
Plant a Flower Day. I'm all about planting a flower. We could do that. What flower would you plant, Conrad?
I'm not big into flowers. Maybe I'll plant a daisy behind my house. Dude,
embrace your flower side. There's no shame in that. I'm going to give you the break to think about it. Then we're going to discuss. All right, we got a lot of show to get to. I talked way too long about cookies. But congratulations to Ben Chan on Jeopardy. I don't know. That was the finals. Does he advance to the next round robin? I don't know. Or did he win the whole thing for the year? I don't know. We'll have to find out. So we'll get to the bottom of that, too. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Mino and the Mayor. We got a message on Facebook from Nicholas who says air fryers are perfect for leftover pizza.
There you go.
I bet that would work.
I have an air fryer.
You know, I've got one. I'm doing that.
Yes.
Another thing I'm going to do, I'm going to use my dehumidifier and I'm going to make jerky.
It's not a dehumidifier, John.
What is it again?
Dehydrator.
That's what it is.
All right.
Now we can go to break.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday morning, 6 till 9. On the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you've made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. It's almost like this is one of those days that was so beautiful. I almost wanted to call the Civic Media headquarters and say, can I do the show outside today? Like when you're a kid and they let you do everything outside. It's like hard to be inside, but you can't take a sick day either on a gorgeous day. Otherwise people get hip to it. So our question tonight is, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie? It is National Girl Scout Day, not National Girl Scout Cookie Day, National Girl Scout Day. I am segueing into cookies though. Because I'm on like this keto diet and I crave cookies like you wouldn't believe. So we're talking about Girl Scout cookies. What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie? Let us know. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Always fun when you guys participate in the show. Some big releases on this day too. School of Rock. You know what, Conrad? Actually, that was School of Rock. The TV show was released today.
Oh, really? I didn't even know it was a TV show.
I knew that. But I never watched the TV show. I love the movie.
Yeah.
So we just went with the movie clip. So do we have a clip from School of Rock? Why don't we fire one up?
Sure. Yeah.
To celebrate what was released on this day. If you got one at the ready, fire away, my friend.
Yeah. So this is when Jack Black first comes in to substitute, and he doesn't want to teach anyone because he's hungover.
All right. Perfect.
I want to learn from my teacher.
Besides that, Freddie, what do you like to do?
I don't know. Burn stuff.
Just go out and have recess.
My parents don't spend $15,000 a year for recess.
What, you want to learn something?
Yes, I do.
What, you want me to teach you something? You want to learn something? All right, here's a useful lesson for you. Give up. Just quit. Because in this life, you can't win. Yeah, you can try. But in the end, you're just going to lose big time because the world is run by the man.
Who?
The man. Oh, you don't know the man? Oh, well, he's everywhere. In the White House, down the hall, Miss Mullins. She's the man. And the man ruined the ozone, and he's burning down the Amazon, and he kidnapped Shamu and put her in a chlorine tank, okay? And there used to be a way to stick it to the man. It was called rock and roll. But guess what? Oh, no. The man ruined that too with a little thing called MTV.
Jack Black is so great. We played a clip from him last week from the film Orange County when he runs in while his brother is having his interview for college for Stanford. And Jack Black runs in his underwear looking for his urine sample specimen. You don't hear much from him these days, though. Have you seen him in anything, Conrad?
Isn't he just Kung Fu Panda now?
I guess. He's making a boatload of money, I'm sure, which is great.
He was in the Super Mario's movie.
Oh, was he? Just doing the voice?
Yeah, he played Bowser.
It's kind of a silly question. Just playing the voice? No, Pete, he animated himself. That's how good of an actor he is.
I mean, he could have just played Bowser as him.
Right. Exactly. So that's Kung Fu Panda was released today. No, Kung Fu Panda won the box office this weekend. School of Rock was released today, the TV show. I don't know if you saw the TV show. Did you ever watch the TV show?
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of... another show dropped today called The Shield in 2002. And The Shield was like a cable show before there was actually... Well, I should say a streaming show before there was actually streaming shows. It was on, I think, FX. And Michael Chiklis played this cop who would bend the rules. And it was kind of ahead of its time. And I got into it. I was like, I've never seen anything like this on network TV. But now that's like kind of commonplace with all the great streaming shows there are and all the chances they take from a writer standpoint or creativity standpoint. It's pretty cool. So that dropped on 2002 on this day. So like I said yesterday, I almost saw all the movies before the Oscars. I finally saw Past Lives last night, a day late, because Chris Foran, who was on the show last night from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, said that he said it was actually his favorite film, and it was the one I didn't get to before the Oscars. And I don't know how. It's on Paramount Plus, very accessible. It was free if you have Paramount Plus. And I watched it, and I don't disagree with him. It was really good. I'm anxious to get Rob Thomas's thoughts on this. I'm not sure if he saw this one, but it was just a really solid film. It was about two kids that meet in Seoul, Korea when they're kids, when they're very young, I should say. And the girl moves away when she's 12, and they had this little crush on each other. They track each other down when they're like 20 or 22, something like that. They have this online relationship. And then she kind of more or less says it's too painful for her. She can't do this. She knows he has stuff to do. She has stuff to do with her life. So she said, let's talk down the road. And they both ended up meeting someone. And she ended up getting married. And then they come together again. And it's just this story of like unrequited love. Very well done. Very well acted. The film totally takes its time. I would recommend it. I will say, I don't. Like when it comes to the Oscars, when you hold it up next to Oppenheimer has the powerful score and the acting and the writing and the dramatic moments. This was like the anti-Oppenheimer. Past Lives was just had these sweet moments, great dialogue, really well acted. And it reminds me a little bit of the film Boyhood that came out several years ago, a Richard Linklater film that was nominated for Best Oscar, which I really loved. And Boyhood, I don't know if you guys remember that movie. It was about a kid that just, they show him growing up and they use the same kid through the whole movie. I want to say over 10 years. It was a very ambitious project. And that movie too, you kept waiting for like something big to happen. But it never really does. Like his parents get divorced. He lives with his mom. Then his dad comes back into his life, played by Ethan Hawke. And it was just like life. It was so real. And Past Lives a little bit reminds me of that. It has the same type of quality. So I enjoyed it. If you guys watched Past Lives, don't be afraid to chime in. I'd love to hear what you thought of it. Just a really nice film. I want to hear what Rob Thomas says about that, if he's seen it. Other than that, lots of stuff going on. There's still some Oscar fallout. I didn't know this, but you know, I do these Hollywood Minutes. Conrad, you've heard all of them, I assume. And yeah. Jimmy Kimmel's wife was one of the executive producers of the Oscar broadcast. She advised, if you didn't see it or if you didn't hear us talking about it last night, Jimmy Kimmel read a Truth Social post from former President Donald Trump during the Oscars, in which Trump went after Kimmel, said he was a below average host. Really kind of took a shot at him, to which Kimmel replied, aren't you up late past your jail time? And, you know, as you can imagine, brought down the house. Kimmel's wife saw him reading the Truth Social post, and he said what he was going to do, and she advised him against it. She thought it was too risky, but he did it anyway. And now she says she'll never win another argument in her house. Which I thought was hilarious. Obviously, he made the right call, and his wife even admitted it, but talk about a power couple. Co-executive producing the Oscars, and your husband is the host. Your wife is the executive producer. That's kind of cool. All right, Rob Thomas is up next. Do not go away. We've got more Nightlight coming up next. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The House today takes up a measure that would force the Chinese owner of TikTok to sell or face a ban.
Wisconsin Republican Mike Gallagher says it's not that TikTok is a time suck for teens.
This is about foreign adversary control of American social media and, by extension, the dominant news platform for young Americans.
His bill forcing a ban if TikTok isn't sold needs a two-thirds vote to pass the House. If it does, Senate leader Chuck Schumer has not committed to advancing it.
I'll have to consult and intend to consult with my relevant committee chairman to see what their views would be.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Vladimir Putin threatening to use nuclear weapons after a second straight night of Ukrainian drone bombardment. Russia says it shot down 58. President Biden and Donald Trump are now the presumptive nominees of their parties after primary wins Tuesday in Washington State, Mississippi, and Georgia. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state senators are firing two members of the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. Dana Wachs and John Miller went down on a floor vote Tuesday over their opposition to diversity cuts. Democrats say they're frustrated by the partisanship.
The only thing that these individuals have done wrong to have their appointments denied is that they do not share the Republican Party's ideology.
Senator LaTanya Johnson. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will take up a case that banned absentee ballot drop boxes across the state. Those drop boxes came under heavy scrutiny by Republicans following the 2020 presidential election. A judge ruled the drop boxes illegal in the summer of 2020. The court announced Tuesday that they will take up the case and oral arguments are set for May 13th. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today with clouds gradually increasing here this afternoon. It's still going to be mild. Our high near 59, the wind northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 34. Tomorrow cloudy with rain, 44 the high. Some snowflakes may mix in tomorrow night. Overall, a quarter inch, maybe a little more by the time all of it ends late tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving! Get it moving!"
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings 6 till 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 player selection draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on, to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the Talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on this beautiful, beautiful day here in Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from our beautiful City Deck Landing Studios here at WGBW. We got a couple texts here. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Girl Scout cookie? It is National Girl Scout Day, and I've never been a Girl Scout myself, but I do like the cookies. Steve from Florida says, regarding my favorite Girl Scout cookie, Thin Mints, like father, like son. Although I did try their new one, the Adventurefuls, not bad, but I would say average. Suggestion for a keto diet recipe, one crumbled Thin Mint and two scoops of low-carb Breyers vanilla ice cream. I tried it during my tour of duty in my keto phase of life. Thank you, Steve. That sounds like you're getting all your carbs in one serving for the keto. But
it's a good one.
Try that on my cheat day. It sounds great. Paula says, from the 920, Paula says, I have two favorites, Thin Mint and Samoas. Conrad, you are definitely an apple that does not fall far from the tree.
That she brought me on to the Samoans that I love so much. She's the one that made me like those, I believe.
She got you. Okay.
She got me hooked on the Samoans.
It's literally in your DNA. Jim from Appleton weighs in. Best Girl Scout cookie is the Samoa caramel, chocolate, coconut, and a butter cookie. Just can't beat it. Oh, I can beat it, Jim, with a little something I like to call Thin Mints and peanut butter. But I got to tell you, I love the Samoa too. What is the peanut butter cookie called? The Dosey Dose. Let's talk to Rob Thomas about this. I've known Rob for a long time. He's the entertainment reporter for the Capital Times. He has his own articles he writes on his Substack, which are all great. And this question has bothered me for years. I never have known what Rob's favorite Girl Scout cookie is, so I think it's time we found out. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How's it going?
Going great. Great to have you with me tonight. Thank you for taking the time.
Of course.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Well, I have not revealed this for many years, so don't feel bad. But I'm ready to reveal it tonight, and I think it's a left field choice.
Really?
I'm gonna go lemonades. Those are
wow. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's hard to. Yeah, we were just talking about that before. How people don't say that, but when you have them, they are delicious.
They're really good, and they are sometimes the last to go when. You know, the Girl Scouts are set up in front of the pick and save. Like right. Samoans go first, Thin Mints go. You know, the lemonades will sit around for a little bit, and then you swoop in, maybe make a little deal, make a little. You know, get them off their hands, and
yeah,
that's a great little treat, great little sweet and sour treat.
I'll tell you what I'm over, Rob, or what I don't think should be if they're going to retire one of these cookies, the peanut butter the tagalongs. Something's not working there. I don't know. It's chocolate and peanut butter. You're on third base with that already, but somehow yeah. they're kind of dropped the ball. I don't know what happened.
Kind of coast to home on that one, I think. Yeah, you need to go back to the factory on that one. Yeah.
It should be. It should be a layup, but it's something's wrong. So, hey, let's talk. You and I have talked several times over the last few weeks about what we've seen, what we haven't seen. Did you end up seeing all of the Oscar films?
I still did not see one. I saw 9 of them, but did not see Anatomy of a Fall. I was going to go Friday night, but then, I was my own worst enemy. I was like, it's rainy. We have to eat dinner quick to get out there. So Best.
I hear you.
Screenplay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it won. Yeah, exactly. And, I did see that when I told you my thoughts on that, but I kind of, at the last minute I crammed and I watched The Holdovers and what was it? Oh, I watched Zone of Interest right before. And then the night before I watched The Holdovers and good Poor Things on Sunday.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. And Rob, I added a third, but instead of, completing the series and watching Past Lives, which would have brought me up to speed in time for Oscar night, I watched May December instead.
Okay.
Which I liked. And then I watched Past Lives today. So I eventually saw them all.
Good for you. And then a bonus. Yeah. Yeah. Like an alternate in case one of them had to drop out. You got the 11th. Yeah.
Correct. If they had gone to 11 last minute, which is probably unlikely.
Sure. Somebody tears an ACL and then they got to bring in another movie.
Hey, after that broadcast, that wouldn't have surprised me if something, maybe yeah. John Cena trying to keep the cardboard up would have pulled a hammy or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So before we get into Oscar talk, did you see Past Lives? I'm just curious to get your thoughts on it.
I loved it. Yeah. That was, I saw that fairly recently within the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, it's one where I really liked it. Probably didn't benefit from it having so much hype because it's been out for 6 months. A lot of top 10 lists, and it's a very small, you know, quiet but just beautiful film, right? Yeah. But so yeah, I really liked it. Yeah.
It was they have these, whoever the filmmakers were in love with the city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some amazing shots of the city. Some I thought they held a little too long. I'm like, okay, I get it. You love New York, but it was beautifully shot. But you're right, it's such a small film. And I mentioned earlier in the show, I drew kind of a weird comparison. It reminded me a little bit of the film Boyhood, the Richard Linklater film.
Yeah.
From several years ago. I kept waiting for something to happen, but it was just their life happening. And they take such long silences, and there's never that big moment. There's almost no tension in the film, really. I don't know. It was very subtle.
There's almost a love triangle, but then like her husband is like, "Nah, I'm cool with it," basically.
Yeah. So
it's like, there's no drama whatsoever. And it's like, you know, but yeah, it's like Boyhood was like nothing's happening kind of in the moment or just ordinary things, but they build up into this really amazing, powerful thing, which I thought was kind of what happened with Past Lives, which I think is sort of like three different time periods or something like that,
yeah,
from every 10 years apart. So yeah, I really liked it. Yeah,
I did too. And it's similar to Boyhood. It's like it both films just remind me of life. It's like you keep, especially in a movie, you keep waiting for something big, and
right,
the advances are so subtle. Like at the end when they're standing there saying goodbye in Past Lives, the two of them, I want to say there was 2 minutes of silence where they both didn't know what to say to each other. And I'm going, kiss her or do something, you know, but like nothing. They just hugged and he left. It was so, but I actually loved it.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of would have wrecked it if they had kissed, even though,
right,
like, if that Uber had been 30 seconds later, it might have happened. Yeah.
He kept sort of slowly turning his body towards her.
Yep.
I love that the filmmakers made the choice they did. It was great. But
yeah,
a lot of fun. And I guess the unrequited love, you know, that's always a big thing, or can be a big thing in movies too. But
for sure,
it totally worked for me. So anyway, overall thoughts on the Oscar broadcast?
I thought it was great. I really, I quite honestly, kind of looking back, like they've been kind of shaky the last few years, I think. And they try something new and it doesn't really work out. But I thought it was like Jimmy Kimmel's like a solid host. Like that's his fourth time. He brings his own writing staff. He knows how to do it. And so you're in kind of in capable hands there. And then this was the first year in a while where I felt like the movies, like they really, first of all, I liked all of them. Like there was none of like, I'm upset that one won or whatever. But also like Barbie, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, even Poor Things, like their movies have sort of had impact in different ways. And so it was more meaningful, I think, than when it's like, no offense to like the movie Coda, which won a couple of years ago, but like that was one that only a couple of people really saw. And I thought it was really funny. I mean, some of the bits were really good. And
Yeah. It's interesting. It's funny. You said his fourth time. I didn't realize it had been four times, but and he is kind of a pro. He knows how to walk that line between, because I think a lot of those people, at least they're perceived as being sensitive about their egos and that kind of stuff. Like supposedly Emma Stone got mad that he said something about in the clip, those are the only parts of Poor Things we could show you. And I'm like, did she see the movie? What? He wasn't saying anything there. And then apparently he said something about Robert Downey Jr., but Robert Downey Jr.'s made jokes about his before he was sober.
If anybody can take it, it's Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen Poor Things since we've last spoken too. Can I just pick your brain a little bit on that? I loved
it. Yeah.
You liked it too, right?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but it was super, super fun to look at and super weird. And, you know, I don't know if I really connected with it on like an emotional level, but I had a lot of fun watching it. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it, actually. Yeah. And I thought, I really thought Mark Ruffalo was so funny the way Emma Stone's character frustrated him. And he didn't know, like, you know, he is this womanizer and he met his match and he has no idea why. That really cracked me up. I was really hoping he won the Oscar, but it's hard to argue with Robert Downey Jr. too.
Yeah. That's such a different role for Mark Ruffalo. I was not, you know, cause he always plays like, even when he's the Hulk, he's a pretty grounded kind of normal guy. And that was such a crazy, like, I mean, he's so funny in that movie. And so like every line just cracked me up. Cause he just got more and more frustrated cause he thought he had the upper hand and he didn't. And so I think that would have been great. Yeah. And that movie is very, like, very, a lot of Wisconsin connections in that movie, right? Because Ruffalo's from Kenosha, Willem Dafoe's from Appleton. And I know Emma Stone's husband is a filmmaker from Monroe, Dave McCary. So it's like, it's basically Wisconsin.
Okay.
Basically Godfather Green Bay too, really. Yeah.
I wish I would have had Mark Ruffalo. Some of the faces he made were hilarious.
Yeah.
Talk about expanding his range. He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's funny what you said about Oppenheimer, Rob, because that's kind of like, I mean, talk about an Oscar film from the get-go with the score and the acting and the direction and the dramatic moments. And it's funny that it won, but that it got nominated. And then a film like Past Lives, which has nothing in common with Oppenheimer, you know, it's just crazy to me.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, ever since I think it was like because of Dark Knight not getting nominated, they added it, they expanded it from 5 Best Picture nominees to 10.
Okay.
And there's kind of room for all kinds of movies. I mean, there's a lot more foreign language movies getting nominated now. I guess last night there were more foreign language film wins than any other time or something like that. It's a project to watch all 10 of them and try and find them on what streaming service they're on or catch them in the theater. But like I said, I thought it was a good list. Like, and the thing I liked about the Oscars is like, Oppenheimer won a lot of the awards, but like Barbie really kind of won the night. Like that I'm just Ken thing. Like I've been rewatching that. That is so funny to me. Like it is so like a 50s musical, like I just loved it. I thought it was so funny and like that's gonna be one of those Oscar moments they replay 30 or 40 years from now, I think.
Yeah, agreed. It was great. And what did you think in terms of like I think when we last spoke, you said you might be pulling for an upset for Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, that didn't happen, but that's all right.
Are you happy with Cillian?
Yeah, I mean he was great. There's no question he was great in it. Right. And the thing I liked about last night was that thing where, and maybe some people think this is self-indulgent, but where they have the 5 actors sort of like talk him up. And speaking of Paul Giamatti, Nicolas Cage, I thought was really funny saying like, I would have worn a fake eye or whatever. Hell yes. That was great. But like, that's sort of like, you know, 4 of these guys are not going to win, but here's sort of like a consolation prize. This Ben Kingsley is going to tell you pretty cool. And I would have liked to see Lily Gladstone win for Killers, but you know, what can you do?
You know, that was my next question for you, Rob. And she was, we talked about how much we both liked her performance and how she is so good at underplaying things. But when I saw Poor Things and what Emma Stone had to do, just from all the intimate stuff to her character basically maturing, that was an incredible, like you can't be upset that she won, right?
No, not at all. I mean, she went for it. There was nothing held back there. And so, yeah, I think kind of the same way with Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti, they usually will award a bigger, bolder performance than a more human one.
Yeah.
No complaints. Yeah.
Hey, Rob, let's pick up there when we get back. This is Peach Wobber. Rob Thomas is here. We're coming back. This is Nightlight.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California.
This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. So fun to have you with me on a Tuesday night talking Oscars. Rob Thomas is here from the Capital Times. What could be better? Except that we got a phone call. Hey, Rob, you want to take a phone call with me?
Excellent, yeah.
All right, put him through, K-Man.
Hey, is this me?
Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, this is Nick from Madison.
Hey, Nick, how's it going? Welcome to Nightlight.
Good. How are you doing? Yeah.
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Always glad to hear Rob Thomas. And, before I get in my point, the first confession, when the first time you said Rob Thomas was going to be on, I thought it was going to be the lead singer of Matchbox 20. And I was a little disappointed, but that's okay, because Rob Thomas Rob Thomas is pretty good. So, yeah.
He's actually not that Rob Thomas, and that's how you find him.
But
I'll take this Rob Thomas any day. So, go ahead,
this Rob Thomas is awesome. Yeah, so, yeah. No problem. But I want to say, you were talking about Girl Scout cookies before.
Yeah.
And, well, of course, my favorite is Thin Mints, especially if you put them in the freezer and eat them after that. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
I agree. That is the best way. Absolutely.
Yes. But the lemons that you're talking about, those are good, too. But my second favorite would have to be, I always thought they were called Caramel Delights, but I guess you call them Samoas, the caramel chocolate coconut things.
Sure.
And, I don't usually like coconut, but wow, they're amazing. But
are you related to Conrad? Because no one in his family likes coconut either. So I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know. I mean, I like them here, though. I like them in this one specific scenario. Yes.
Oh, it totally works. But, I'm with you.
Yes. But one thing that I noticed about Girl Scout cookies, and this comes from when I guess still now because there's Facebook, but when I used to work actually in an office, coworkers would come at this time of year saying, hey, my daughter's selling Girl Scout cookies. You want to buy some? And of course I bought some because I love Girl Scout cookies. But in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, yes, but your daughter's not selling them. You are.
Right.
So
she's not getting
credit
she
for
gets
your
taste.
Work.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like one of those parents doing everything for their kid, right, Nick?
Yeah.
Nick, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for the call, and welcome to Conrad's family.
Awesome. Okay, we can both hate coconuts together. So
absolutely. Have a great night, Nick. Okay.
You too. Bye.
All right. So we're talking with Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. Let us know, Rob, through an audible, and not an audible, because the lemon are delicious too, but you kind of forget about them. So let us know your favorite Girl Scout cookie. You can call, you can text Pony Express. You just let us know what works for you. Okay. So Rob, what did you think? Do you remember the moment where Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy had that awkward exchange?
Yeah. What was that about? Was that, it was one of the things where it was like, is this supposed to be awkward? Like, are they pretending to be awkward? And cause it was like, those two should be better at this. And, you know, they're sort of were making Al Pacino look sort of like organized and collected up there. Yeah.
All right. So it's funny you mentioned that. I have an article pulled up I never got to today. He apologized. Al Pacino, I'm talking about. What? I don't know what happened there. It was obviously awkward, but what did he blame that on?
Well, I think they, you know, people were like, well, why didn't you say all 10 nominees? You just kind of opened it and kind of said, kind of offhandedly, I see Oppenheimer. And it was like, wait, was that it? did he do it? But, you know, I think he did say like, well, they said don't say all 10 or something. They didn't have it listed on the cue cards or whatever, because by that point in the night, everybody knew what the nominees were. Yeah, it was fun. It's always funny to me when you like see one of the great actors of our time. And this is, of course, Warren Beatty with the whole Moonlight mess up a few years ago. Where like, they just can't, they can't function off stage sometimes, it seems like.
Yeah, or unless they're acting, you know.
Right, exactly.
To be themselves, it's weird.
That, maybe that's it. They're just kind of awkward being on stage, but being themselves. I don't know. Right. Instead of Willie Loman. But yeah, it was an odd end to the night for sure. Yeah.
What did you think of John Cena and that gag?
I thought that was very funny. Yeah, I thought that was really funny. He is like, I mean, he's got chops. I mean, I'm not talking about his physical, although that too, but like, I mean, he's genuinely funny. Ever since like that Amy Schumer movie, Trainwreck, like he's really good at that kind of stuff.
Isn't it funny? Like, I think that's how wrestlers, that's the best way for them to segue into acting. Like, you don't take, I remember like in the 70s and 80s, when Dick Butkus and Jim Brown were in movies, it's like, wait a minute, what? I just don't think you could do that now. But these wrestlers, they're such performers already. I think if they dip their toe in comedy or in some outlandish role first and then kind of segue like David Batista or John Cena, I don't know. Yeah, he's got chops.
It's so funny because pro wrestling is real, and yet they're able to transition into movies and pretend, which is very... But yeah, David Batista's like he's a genuinely good actor. Like, he does both comedy and drama, and I think is really good in both. Yeah.
Agreed. So, speaking of David Batista, have you seen Dune 2 yet?
Yes, I've seen it twice now. I saw it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I saw it with my older daughter, kind of a sneak preview, and then my wife and her son, we went a week or two ago, and I think it's great. Have you seen it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I did see it, and I think I said to you I really liked it, much better than Dune 1, but I do feel like it got... The last act was like kind of a, I don't know, it took a weird turn where all of a sudden he was anointed, and it was, and my son made the comment, he wishes he was still kind of a, more of an anti-hero, but he kind of embraced the chosen one thing. And, but it worked. I mean, look, it was a really fun movie, paced well, everything was great. Yeah. Did your family like it?
Yeah. I think my wife did not understand anything that happened in that movie whatsoever.
But she took one for the team.
Yeah. I think she enjoyed it. She was like, this is well made. I do not know who these people are or what they're doing. And she had seen the first one too. It had the same thing. But it is, I really enjoyed it. It is, I think, pretty bleak, you know, like you say.
Yeah.
He basically turns into, I mean, a villain, right? So, yeah.
Right. Let's pick it up there. I have a couple more questions for you about Dune 2. Rob Thomas is here. He's going to stick with us for a few more minutes. That's coming up next here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Wednesday on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'm going to be joined by judicial candidate Rochelle Johnson-Bent, talking about why your local trial court judges are important to you.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.